Yeah.
And we're out with John Wist up at the farm. And we're taking a look at where John and his family started their operations on the marsh. And a little bit of the history of how they got started. John, this first map is the 1911 map.
1911.
That Hoff Day drew. When they first started talking about the marsh.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it's the dotted line.
Yes.
is the top of the bank.
That's the bank of of the marsh the dike that they built.
Mm-hmm. And this green line.
Yeah.
This is the tree line.
Yeah.
How far the trees came out into the marsh.
Okay.
You can see many of them. And then this solid line. This solid line here, that's the canal.
The yellow line.
Yeah, the one with the yellow.
The black that goes over the yellow.
Well, so you can see most of the canal that they dug went through the part that was covered with trees.
Go ahead.
And so anyway, go back. When did you folks first come to the marsh, this part of the world?
Well, my dad came into the marsh and he bought 5 acres of land off Mr. Siebert years back, which is right on the settlement road, you know, as you go in there, right off Graham Side Road.
Right in by Ansbythal?
Yeah.
Way down the
right Ansbythal. Right mm-hmm. there, right across mm-hmm. from Mr.
Okay.
Fisher. He had 5 acres of land in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 1939.
So that would be up in here. This is Andrew. Remember, we're talking about this is 1910, 1911.
Yes.
But there was this is the Catania farm.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's where the bridge went across. That was the only bridge going across the place. That's where they took most of their material across by Catania's when they first came to build those homes in the settlement.
See, they had a bridge across there.
Yeah. Catania's had a bridge across there.
Mm-hmm. And this is the Graham Side Road up here.
Yeah.
And then you drop down and come back across here.
Yeah.
And this is the Ansbythal Road. So you were back up in here. This is the name here of John Sweezy, but so there's Thomas Morris. And up in, so you'll get about up in this. How far down?
Oh, it was just from the Graham Side Road, just mm-hmm. from this, just the Graham Side Road,
right
you
here,
say here.
Graham, right here.
Okay, all right. So it would be close to the Graham Side Road coming down through the marsh, which would actually be on the south side of the Graham Side Road, okay.
And you were on the east side or the west side of the Ansbythal Road, which is Dufferin Street, isn't it?
Yeah. Which would be let's just see that. Yeah, that was the settlement road. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it would be on the east side of it.
East side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay,
that's the part now. The muck's getting pretty thin in parts of
the muck is very shallow there.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Was the land cleared when you
That in? Land was cleared, but it was very little muck on it because the outskirts of the muck was... Here, I better
okay,
give you
that. Right, yeah. I'll get the paper. Go ahead, you go ahead.
So anyway, with that, I would say that the back part of the land was actually all clay in it, which it is right now, too. It's all clay in there. And so with that, we used to go ahead and use a knife to go ahead and take the weeds out with, because it was too hard in your fingers. You couldn't pull the weeds because what would happen, you'd break them off when you tried to pull them out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we started in there. And Dad grew crop there. Mother and I used to go ahead on the Saturday and come out and give them a hand. And he used to grow that crop there. We lived in the city on St. Patrick Street through the winter months, and Mom and I, we worked in the city, and Dad used to farm because there was no jobs. So that's how it happened in those days.
St. Patrick Street. Where was the St. Patrick Street?
St. Patrick Street. Remember where Canada Bud Brewery was?
Okay.
McCall and St. Pat's?
Okay, all right. I got this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The old brewery was there actually, and so with that, Mr. Ott also had a piece of land on that stretch.
Okay.
Old man Ott.
This is a 1946 photograph.
Okay.
Were you still up here in 1946?
46. 46. I was in the corner of King and Fort, King Street, and Fort.
Okay. All right. This is the Graham Sidewalk.
I can see that.
Okay. This is the Graham Side Road here.
Okay.
And this is where, and then you come over here and down, and this is Ansmerville down in here. So
okay.
This would be one of yours, would be this prop, one of these properties in
would
here.
It's next to where the settlement would be, the King Street. Where the heck would that be? Where's the canal part on there?
Here's the canal.
That's the canal.
Right there.
Okay. And then the other section. So it's got to be, this must be the road here because it goes across the canal, right?
Yeah, well this is...
Goes
this
across the canal into the highland.
No, this road doesn't go across.
Or it does not
go across? No.
Or it didn't in those days, right?
No.
I see.
No.
Because there's a bridge across there. On the settlement there's a bridge across, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the next concession on...
Down here.
Oh, down there.
Down there. There's a bridge across here which takes you down to Highway 9.
Okay.
This is the way it sits. We're looking north now.
Okay, all right.
This is north and south.
Yeah, okay. So this is north there. So that's right. And so this would be along here. And so it would be, there's one concession from one to the next, right?
Here's the concession.
Where's the settlement?
Here's the settlement, Ansmerville right there.
Okay, so we only go to the next concession over, and it would be in here. That's where about King Street would be going up to the fourth concession.
Just a second. Got the map here. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Here's Ansmerville.
Okay.
And then here's King Street. When they call it or Davis Street.
That's right.
Okay.
That's the one.
All right.
That's the one.
Here's this will be it. This will be it here.
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be about here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where you come down here. You come down here, you go on, or else you can cut across here and angle a bit and come around here. Yeah.
The thing is, that road used to go straight. And then just before we come to Dad's place, there was an awful creek there.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, when Dad built the house, he had to carry every board that's on that house on his back to go along and bring it down to about here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite a section to go through, because there was no gravel, no road of any kind. It was just still muck in those days.
Yeah.
So therefore it was either by horse that they got the stuff down there or on their back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so King Street is the street that I'm looking at here, about a photo A101080, and it's the right of right at the very bottom of the photograph. Let's go over here and look there and see. Okay, we'll go back to this one. And this one should give us a little better look at that.
Now, Dad sold...
Okay, here we are. Here's the same place. Here's King Street right here. We're looking at A106-0648. King Street's right in the middle of the picture.
Okay,
so
that's about right.
Whereabouts is your
place? Right on the corner.
Right here?
Right on the corner.
Right
where the concession turned. Right where the road turned.
Okay.
Yeah. Right there.
Right. So then, your house entered came onto Dufferin Street. Is that right?
That house there was just right on. We called it the fourth concession.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's the one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My dad, my brother, and I, we built that house one winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I never built a house before, neither did my dad, neither did my brother.
What would that be?
That would be in approximately, let's just say we bought that corner. We bought 35 acres of land off Louis Coro. Louis Coro was an Italian person that used to be...
C-O-R-O?
Yeah, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we bought 35 acres of land. I bought 15. My brother bought 5, and Mr. Lehner, he bought 15.
Mm-hmm.
And so we paid $100 an acre for this land. It was plowed. It was summer-falled all year. and that's what we paid for land in those days, is $100 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I started, and I said to my wife, my dad came first of all, and he said, there's 35 acres of land for sale. So with that, do you think you want to get out of the knitting business and out of the beauty parlor business? I says, well, I says, I'd love to. I'd love farming. So with that, he says, well, the land's there. Well, then I talked to the wife, and I said to the wife, I says, you know, I says, we have a chance to go ahead and buy some land. And I says, it's only $100 an acre. If I wanted to marry a farmer, I could have married a rich farmer. I wouldn't have to marry a poor farmer.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I finally convinced her, and I says, look, I says, you keep all your beauty parlor equipment, and I says, we'll store it away. And I says, we'll go on the farm, we'll try it for 1 year, and if we don't like it, we'll come back. But we had to live with my parents, so mm-hmm. there's only four rooms, and there's five people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a crowded place. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, we all worked. So that year, we made $3,500, which is a pile of money, against the $1,500 that we paid for the land, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she,
and this is what, 1930?
This would be in 1943.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in 1942 we bought it, in 1943 we farmed.
Mm-hmm.
Then she says, if I would have a house, it wouldn't be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't too lazy, so I went up to Schaumburg to talk to Mr. Graham,
mm-hmm.
old Bernal Graham.
Old Bernal Graham.
I says, Mr. Graham, I says, I've got $3,000. How big of a house will $3,000 build me? He says, let me figure it out and come back tomorrow and I'll tell you. So he says to me, he says, well, John, he says, you can have four rooms, four beautiful rooms downstairs, and you can have two rooms up in the attic, provided you do the work. He says, all the material supplied, all everything that you need, plaster, gyprock, everything to go ahead and say, all the material supplied, but you have to do the work. Well, I says, I built bunk houses before. Surely I can build a big house, you know. So that's how it got started. So in the next year, we had another good year. We made a little bit more than $3,500. So she says, you know what? I think this is nice, because at that time there was no hardwood there. There was no nothing there, just wilderness. So you take a woman that's used to living in the city all the time, it's pretty
mm-hmm.
hard to go ahead and take
mm-hmm.
her into the wilderness and
mm-hmm.
get used to it. No water. No water. You have to go ahead and make water out of snow and things like that. And then there was Zimba. Zimba and the gang up there, they drilled a well. So I used to take two milk cans in the wintertime and go ahead and haul that on a toboggan. Well, you know how many times the damn thing would fall
still
over. Well, if there was half the milk can left at the time, so you'd have to go back twice to go ahead and get enough water to even wash.
Yeah.
Anyway, that came about. So as I was saying, so she says, you know, she says, it's not so bad here. It's a better life than what we had in the city. It's not such a rat race. She says, I'm going to sell my beauty parlor equipment, and you can buy yourself a brand new tractor. And, you know, a young, proud man, it's like with a pair of stallions, eh? So anyway, I went down to Little Brothers, and at that time it was during the war. So with that, we couldn't buy a rubber tire tractor, but we could get the steel wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So the tractor, it's like I can remember, it's just like if it happened today. I went down to Little Brothers, and I says, Mr. Little, I says, I'm here to buy a tractor. What would a new tractor cost you? He says, let me look this up. He says, about $900. And I says, I haven't got that kind of money to spend. Well, how much have you got to spend? I says, I have $825. But I says, I need more than the tractor. I need a plow to plow the land. So for $825, I bought the tractor and a double furrow plow.
This is a Ford Ferguson?
Ford Ferguson.
On steel wheels?
On steel wheels.
Just one sec.
Yeah. Very good. So anyway, with that, that was great. And then from there on in, we went ahead and then the Davises, they bought some land by the 400.
Mm-hmm.
And then Charlie says, we bought some land by the 400. He says, there's more land there. If you want some, go and see Vic Turner.
Well, they used to be out here too, didn't they?
Yes.
They were out in
They were right on the corner. They were right on the corner of the settlement, just below the corner of the settlement, and King Street. They lived on King Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because well,
three families lived on King Street.
It's called the King or Davis Street.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's mm-hmm. where it was. Yeah. So this is where we began. But anyway, as time goes on, talking about this other land along the 400 highway, Davis has had that land bought, and then I bought. I went to Vic Turner, and Vic Turner says, he says, yeah, he says, we can go to Hamilton, and we can go ahead and talk to the lawyers over there. They got some land for sale. I forget now whether it was Manson and Webb, or it may come to me. But anyway, what happened is that we went there, and I could buy 90 acres of land for $125 an acre. But it said more or less. So I bought that land and I paid for 96 acres. But in the end, we only had 76 acres because when that highway went through, they took that land. There was 20 acres of land that was taken. But I never got no benefit out of that. I paid for 96 and I only had 76 left because it said more or less. And I went back to the lawyers, but they wouldn't give in to go ahead and say that here's some money back. So anyway, the land cost me more. Then it came to a point that, well, now I'm going to sell the land at home and build up by the 400 highway. So anyway, who comes along but Mr. Sipchuk? And he says, you know, he says, we could go ahead and make a deal over here. I says, what kind of deal would you want? Well, he says, I'll give you $19,000. I says, 19 isn't enough. I says, I at least need 20. Well, he says, I'll let you know in there, so. And he came there, so, and he says, I'll give you the 20. My dad comes along and he says to me, he says, are you selling that land? I says, yeah. Well, he says, what if I bought it off you? I says, how much will you give me? He says, I'll give you 19,000. I says, it's sold. Why would you give it to me for 19 if you can get 20? Well, I said, the other guy's not going to give me nothing back, but you will. You young bugger, he says. So anyway, I thought that was good. So there we went, and we went to work, and the other land was all in poplar brush.
Okay, just a second. We got a picture of it here.
Okay.
This is about 1948, isn't it? This is the picture
no,
I saw.
No, this would be, let's just see. Yeah, it'd be close to 48, 47 anyway, 47, 48.
See, here we are. There's the beginnings of Highway 400.
Okay.
There's the piece of land that you bought right there.
That's right. That's the piece in there. You right could there. See the bush in there.
Yeah.
Right?
You can see the bush there.
Okay.
And then there was grass out in the middle. Out in
there was one section that was more, a little bit grassy. I'd say about 30 acres of it was in a grass form.
Yeah.
And we plowed that first of all.
Yep. And we're looking at day 100-7758. And the area that... So when you how far did you go over here? Is that here's Highway 400? So you'd start about there. Would that be about it?
You That'd see be here close because that's the middle of the highway going through the marsh, isn't
yeah,
it?
That's
about
right.
there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where we were exactly from the canal bank to the middle of the marsh.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we went. Yeah. So right from the dike to the middle of the marsh. Because that's where the agricultural place was.
Yep, it was
that's what called Woodchopper's Lane.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so then now we got another picture here. I think it's a little bit later,
mm-hmm.
which shows where you're starting to clear.
Okay. That clearing, I'm going to have to tell you what that little four tractor did.
All right. Now just let's go back
okay.
just a sec. Let's go back here.
All right.
Where you were back over on King Street.
You're right.
Where did you, what did you grow?
Oh, we grew, the first year we grew some lettuce, we grew some spinach, and I grew some onions.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, the onions, I can still remember the price that we got. We got $2.25 for a bag of onions off Howard James. at that time.
Howard James.
Howard James was right by the railroad track there.
Okay, he was.
He had the package. But they bought those onions, and then Dave McQuiggan, like the McQuiggans, years ago, they lived down there, and Mr. McQuiggan had a trucking firm, so they brought the trucks up, right to where we grew the onions. We loaded all the onions on. They took them all the way down to Leamington. Yeah, and the year after, we got 10 cents more for a bag. So that's why I say we had a couple of good years.
That's right. Now, how did they get the trucks in?
The trucks that came in there, you see, at that time, the roads were already built. Now, this we're talking about 48, coming back from 43 to 48 already. So therefore, there's 5 years passed. They also brought the hydro in. They built the road in. And so with that, we all had to pay our share to build the road in.
Now, when you first started, though, how did you get your produce out before those roads were built? How did you get your produce out? That was tough.
That was tough because you see as we bought the land, we also built the roads already. But the roads got so bad sometimes that you couldn't go ahead and go in and out. There was just certain times that you could move in and out. It has to be dry days.
He's talking to Gord Church, like you see, and he's saying that they used to. They had an old Model T truck, and they put dual wheels on the back of it. And he said we used to take fertilizer and that down into Ansvelt. He said we could only take six or eight bags at a time.
That's right. My dad, when he took the fertilizer in, he went from the settlement road, the first settlement road that there was, and they took it all over to Bill Saunders, where Bill Saunders lived. That's the road before you get to King Street. So with that there, they put two bags into a boat. And they took it all the way over to the land where Dad was, right on the corner of King and Fort. Now, that's a lot of work. And then instead of leaving it on the back end where they did, because they thought they were going to get it stolen, they carried it on their back all the way to the front. And that fertilizer was all spread by hand in those days.
And you pulled all the weeds by hand?
Weeds were pulled by hand. The onions were pulled by hand and laid in a row. And then you used either a knife or a set of clippers to go ahead and clip the tops off. That was hard work, mind you, but it was.
$2.35
is what I got.
And how many pounds would be in a bag?
Approximately 50 pounds.
About 50 pounds.
Yeah. But there was also in those days that they came out with the double roller onion combine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So Davis has had one. Then in about 1948, 49, we bought a combine that did onions. Davis's also did carrots with theirs. That was a pull type that we had it came from the States. I even forget the name.
Oh, it's somewhere in here. I got a picture of that.
Wilson Wetzel. Just come to me. Yeah.
And so you started out, everything was done by hand, and then by, you say, about 1948, you got an onion topper.
Yeah.
You know, Matt gave me a whole bunch of pictures here, Matt Balk, and he has a picture of it, and you put everything in bushels and took them to the topper and thrown them to the topper.
That's right, you put it onto the wagon and put it there. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you the story about that, because what happened is that when I bought this land over here, the taxes were quite high. So with that, Bradford and the lawyer and some of the guys got together and they were going to make a park out of this place. And then, I don't know what happened, but anyway, they said, well, would you like to be in on it? And I said, no, I didn't buy the land to go ahead and build a park. I says, I'm going to need that land because my boys are growing up. And so is my brother Frank, because we still worked in 50-50. So with that, I says, I'd rather have the land than have a park. So with that, we just start growing a crop over here too. And with that, they said, well, it would make a wonderful park. I says, I know. I says, it's only one piece of land like that in the whole goddamn marsh or even the surrounding area. It's like a little peninsula sitting here. So with that, I says, I'm not interested in it. But of course, in those days, I mean, you did that. So we're talking about taxes. So I went to go ahead and go to a meeting at East Wilbury, and so with that I told the mayor at the time that I feel that the taxes are too high. Well, he said, let me see the paper. Well, they had it on their residential because they were going to build something on it. I says, I really don't need it on the residential. I says, well, for me, it just should be farmland. Well, he says, then the taxes will only be half. Well, so I came back to my brother and I said to him, I says, well, the taxes are going to be in half. Well, he was happy and I was happy. And that was in the wintertime. We had an awful snowstorm. And so with that, we were already in the by the 400 highway. So he went ahead and he bulldozed all the snow out off different people that had their houses there. And when I talked to him, he says, well, he says, you know, he says, I'd need your truck this afternoon. And so with that, I says, well, I says, you need the truck? That's all right. I says, what's wrong with yours? Ah, he says, something's gone on with the rear end. I says, God, what are you bulldozing for? Because he had trouble with his heart at that time. So anyway, he says, well, I'm not going to bulldoze. He says, I'm going to take Gary and we're going to go down there. He says, I've got some parsnips sold because we had the parsnips in this building over here. We had some parsnips sold, and he says, I got to get the road cleaned up. I says, okay. So I don't know what I did. I went to town that day, and I met Ken Miller, and we came over here, and with that, the tractor sitting on the truck yet and running. They hadn't unloaded it. So anyway, with that, I says, oh, well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. My brother needed a cup of coffee, and they went maybe to Riverview or someplace to go ahead and get it. And that's when he had his severe heart attack, and he passed away. He died right in the car, drinking a cup of coffee.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that was tough.
Well, it just shakes you, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is to say, what the heck do you work so blooming hard for? You know, it just gives you an awful loop, eh? Awful feeling.
That's right. I'm just looking for a picture here. There's a picture I had here of the property of yours down there when you had it all in windrows. But it's quite the. I was talking with Gord Church.
Yes.
And he was mentioning that back on the other side, you can see here. This is just to the east of 400.
Mm-hmm.
You see here, there's a bridge, and then there's a path up through here.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the Wilson farm. And Gord, when they used to come back in here, and come back down this road and everything else and come down here, and there's a bridge here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pick up the produce from the people who farmed in here and then take it back out that way.
Dad used to give church the stuff. They used to take it down to the commission market.
Mm-hmm. The same thing with one over here. This was in the Sutherlands.
Oh, yeah, Sutherlands. Yeah, that's where they took the gravel and the fill out of it.
Yeah,
that's that pond that Hollenson had in there for when they had the bass and they were going to go ahead and have it. Well, they had it all surveyed for housing, and apparently the town didn't pass it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Here we are. Okay. Here's your spot right in here, see?
Yeah.
And there's the, this is, no, that's not the one. That's the other one.
It's got to be in there someplace, I'm sure.
It's right. It has to be in there someplace. I've had it out, and I may have put it back in the wrong place. Well, that's the one we were looking at before.
Yeah.
And there's another one. Darn it. I wonder if I got it out and I haven't put it back in the right place. Okay, well, let's go back here.
Okay.
You were talking here about your little tractor.
Yeah.
When you went to clear this.
Yeah. The thing is, we built, that little tractor had steel wheels, and so therefore we built a saw to put on the back of the tractor on the three-point hitch. And we made that go up and down with the three-point hitch.
Yeah.
And so with that, we went ahead and we put a pulley onto the shaft and put a saw blade onto the bottom, which was about, I'd say about 24 inches, the saw blade was. And I put that tractor in the first gear, and you revved it up and you went. And you had to drive across the brush. So the front end would be, sometimes it would be off the ground because the brush would hold it up. And that thing would just go ahead and cut that brush right off, just unbelievable, just like if you went and cut hay.
Oh, I see. You were driving forward with it.
Driving forward with it, yeah.
That must have been pretty wild.
Oh, I tell you, it was wild. And I was driving it. I know what it was like. And then you cut, and it cut the swath maybe about this much of the brush. And that brush would have to be picked up behind you then, so it doesn't interfere with the saw blade again. So we put that all into windrows, and then at that time the leaves were already on the brush, and so with that, the leaves, when they dried, which would take about a week, then we put a bit of gas or some carrot oil onto it and burnt it, all in windrows, all laying down there. And so my dad, one day, he says, do we have to do this? Because Dad bought 20 acres with us over there. So anyway, with that, I says, no. I says, we can go and dig ditch. Okay, he says, let's go and dig ditch. So we're digging ditch, and he fell that day. And so with that, he couldn't breathe properly. So he says, I didn't even know. And so with that, I think he shoveled about maybe 3 scoops of ground out of the ditch, and he couldn't get his wind. I says, what happened? Well, he says, I fell this morning, and he says, I don't know, my whole side hurts. So when I took him to the doctor, he had 3 broken ribs. So naturally, I mean, you go ahead and say, well, tough as nails, but, you know, still go.
That's right.
Yeah. And so with that, that's how we cleaned most of that brushy stuff off there, because there's deer tracks and deer paths through that, just like you go ahead and get any wild place.
But there'd be a fair bit of big stuff as well.
Your big stuff that we had there, like your, usually they were mostly tamarack trees, and every once in a while you'd come across a big stump that was in there, which was pine tree years ago, and they cut those pines out of there. And
there's that carrot topper.
There's the onion topper. That's it. Is that Nick or is that?
One in the red truck.
That's Tommy Fuller. Tommy Fuller. I better go and talk to him a second.
Okay.
Come in.
Sure. Okay. Tom Fuller's joined us here, so we're going to continue our discussion. You don't mind being on tape?
No, I don't mind at all.
This is what it looked like, something, John. We think this is Davis's. These pictures were taken in 48, and they're.
Let me see that tractor. What tractor was that there? Over here, there's a tractor.
This
in
one
here.
Is a TD6.
That's a TD6. Well, Davis has had a TD6.
With a blade on it.
Yeah. Now that's Davis's then. Yeah, that's how they cleared there. Yeah.
And so that's pretty much what yours would look like, too, when you got it.
Well, ours was standing up in trees yet, as far as that goes. You see, this is already broken down.
Well, tamarack in there pretty well, wouldn't it?
A lot of tamarack. This is what we were talking about.
Did you break yours? Did you use a breaking, like the big breaking plow?
Yeah, we used a, no, we got Delben. Del Ben was the man that came with his TD6 and the big plow, and so therefore he broke the land. We paid him for the plowing, and we'd have to walk into the furrows and turn the big roots out to get him out of the way.
Did something like that?
That's it, yeah. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
You know any of these
guys?
That's Horling, sir.
That is Mr. Horling, that is Walter Horling.
This is Ken Hunter.
Ken Hunter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when Ken was younger, that's
right.
Yeah, it looks like Ken was younger.
He was at Guelph, and I was at Guelph.
Yeah.
And he came back and worked on the station.
Yeah,
with
who's the other guy there?
Who's the other fellow in the background?
This could be a young Horley.
You should talk to the old man sometime about when they started the Department of Inspection Department, when the big shots from Ottawa came down and asked him to help start up the federal inspection. Yeah.
Tom, I found, you know, when you start in to ask people, you know, discussions and everything else like this, you get off. There's so many angles
Oh, do you ever?
To follow up on it. Jeez, I mean, it's just incredible.
Sit down, Tom. Sit down.
Anyway, that was, this is that, this is
Colonel Wheeler, when old Colonel Wheeler came in.
Yeah, that's when it was plowed over.
Yeah. This is what it was like with the grass. Did they, when they plowed that where it was grassy, did they burn the grass off first, or cut the grass off?
We tried to, because it also burnt some of the brush that was there and some of the logs that were there, so therefore they would be burnt. And then all that stuff was turned over, and so therefore you could go ahead and work it a lot easier.
And so that furrow, like here, that would be what?
That was
14,
the beginning.
14 inches deep, 12, 14 inches deep?
I'd say about that, yeah.
And about 2 feet.
Now they plow deeper. They plow pretty well at the Smiths, and so they have a plow that they got off Quebec, which has got a hydraulic big cylinder on there, and they take their four-wheel drives, and they'll cut through logs like this. It'll just cut right through it. It won't push out like we had to go ahead and do it. It'll just cut it into pieces, mm-hmm. and then all they got to do is pick these pieces up when they're working.
Yeah.
And if it's on top, it's plowed down 2 feet, so they'll never see that wood, you know, as long as they're living.
So when the breaking plow came through where there was quite a bit of wood and that, you had to go back in and pick a lot of it out.
You had to go ahead and follow the plow. Any piece of wood that was there that was a root, you had to go ahead and turn that over and get it on top of it.
You could handle it.
Well, yeah.
Some of it was pretty heavy,
but
tremendous amount of root picking.
Yes.
We burnt that wood for firewood for the winter. It burnt pretty quick, but it was, that's all we had back then.
Yeah.
Well, the first sections that we worked over would be just brother and I. We were working at that time. And so with that, we went ahead and we filled that canal bank from the front, from our property, 7 times 1 year, from one end to the other. The fire never went out.
You burnt it mostly up.
We burned it up.
On
we
the
hauled
bank,
it.
Yeah.
We hauled it out and put it on the bank
back,
and burned
back
it
though,
on
the
canal
first,
bank.
The first few what years kind? When they broke the marsh, they used to burn that as firewood too.
Yeah.
What kind of trees were they?
Mostly tamarack.
Tamarack roots. Make a hot fire.
Oh God, hot! They burned the grill right out of your stove.
Yeah.
So there was that hot of fire.
I was going back, Reuben, going back looking at the digging of the original canal.
Yes.
And I don't know what stories you've heard. You might have heard more than I have, but the one that we've been following up on it is that when they say they started about this time in 1925, a little bit earlier, this maybe October, September about 1925, and they got down, I guess, somewhere down to maybe around the fifth side road there or something.
That's right.
The first fall. Well, then next that winter. He said, Prof. Day took a, they had a crew of people who went out and they cut the...
That's when your dad and your Uncle Tom was
Uncle
there.
Uncle Tom, yeah.
Uncle Tom for sure, because he was...
He worked on the dredge as a diver. He dived down underneath, too, and worked on stuff down below.
Oh, yeah.
Without any oxygen tanks or anything, dove down in and worked on it and then came back up. Yeah.
Well, then they cut like a path through.
That's right.
Survey line. And then what did the fellows get the wood to take home or something like that for the neighbor?
I think so. Yeah.
That was what we heard, because I know. And then I was talking to Morning, who lives out on the top of Landing Hill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was saying they used to come back in there and they could get land out. They could get wood on the marsh just going in and cutting it.
Yeah, that's just right. To go and pick
that's
it up.
Right.
That's right, yeah.
You can go in and help that clear it.
Clear out the survey line for the canal, yeah.
Yeah.
On that, did you ever hear stories about them, the dredge getting hung up, like they had a leak in it one time, they had to put in a cofferdams, like, and dry dock, like?
I think so. I think Tom worked on that, too. Yeah, he was telling me about getting
like
leaks.
The leak was in the dike, it wasn't solid enough.
No, in the dredge.
No, in the dredge itself.
In the barge they had. Was about, what, it was 80 feet long, you see?
Yeah.
A great big mother of a dam.
Yeah.
And it got a leak in it. I don't know. I read the news. The Bradford Witness during that period wasn't available.
See, I don't know nothing about the barge because we were.
The thing that amazed me was how they talked these old Scottish settlers into floating debentures for doing this thing, for being as how tight some of these old Scottish farmers were, and how they talked, how Professor Day talked them into floating debentures for doing this. This is this is the most amazing thing of the whole thing.
So this is the dredge that you had to go ahead and dig this out.
That's the dredge, yeah.
Yeah. So we the machine was right on the dredge, and so with that,
we went down
quite a rig.
I went down to, this past summer. Helen and I went down to South Bend, Indiana, yeah. And that's where that was built.
Oh yeah.
There was the Great American Steel Dredge Company in South Bend, Indiana. They're closed up now.
Oh yeah.
But this picture was taken. This was in the 1927 report. Yeah, picture here.
That's the year I was born.
This picture here, somebody left this isn't the Joe Saint has the actual one, but somebody left this hanging on Kenwood's doorknob. Hmm. And they never told us who the heck it was or
well,
it was
something
thing.
Like
this
that's
is the dredge.
That's
the dredge. And here's look at all this brush and garbage here. Now whether that's to the one side or whether
it's probably dumped to the one side because the dredge would have to be in water.
Yeah, well the dredge was in water.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that you can see quite easily there.
Yeah.
The way that it was.
1930 and 31, I used to walk along the canal. This where they put this drill out, where they put it out. We used to walk along there and pick berries before there was any roads or anything made on the North Canal Bank over there by Doan's. We used to have to come down through Doan's driveway and across the bridge and get in the marsh. Father had a little bit of land out there.
Mm-hmm.
He used to carry everything out on his back, the fertilizer and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And they broke a little bit of land.
Like I said.
And they used a horse to take it out.
Yeah. Well, this is what we were talking to Gord Church. So they used to back down. They could go down the fifth line there, and they back over. There's a bridge there, and they go back over the bridge. But there was no road. You just turned around, went back out. And
that's right.
Said if there was two trucks, if somebody followed you in, you had to wait till the other guy got loaded so you could back out.
Yeah. And Father and some of his friends had some land in there at that time. That's where they first started.
Did you fellows ever hear anything of what they called the syndicate?
Oh yeah. Yes, Father knows all about that. You should talk to him about it.
Yeah, you should talk to him while he's
alive.
Well,
he knows the syndicate. He knows about the syndicate.
We had an afternoon with your dad and Joe Saint and Herb Taylor and Sam Catania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These fellows all worked for Prof Day at one time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they talked to it. Anyway, okay. Going back here to the property there by 400.
Yeah.
How long you'd start in to clear it? How long from the time you started to clear it till you were able to get a crop?
Well, that was the thing is we cleared around 30 acres the first year. So there was Frank and I, and we put lettuce in there. And that lettuce was thinned by my wife, my brother, and me, because there was no money. So with that, then when we start harvesting, that's when we got help. So we had 30 acres of lettuce. We grew 30 acres of lettuce the second year that we had that land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was quite an adventure, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, that's a lot of work.
You would have grown all the lettuce. Did you buy that? Did you buy it? Did you grow it as the?
No,
we
just seeded.
You just seeded. Okay.
And in those days, you seeded with a hand seeder. Mm-hmm. Everything was done with individual row seeder. Just a hand seeder.
Oh, Planet Junior.
Planet Junior seeder, that's right. Yeah. And that's what it was,
Matt's got a picture one here of it's about an 8-row, but you'd pull it with a tractor or something.
No,
by hand. Yeah. You pushed it singly, like a little wheel hoe. It was just a little, two wheels, one in the front and one in the back, and the box in the middle.
Yeah, but not like that.
That's a modern. That's an established thing already.
you're a millionaire when you got that.
Oh,
yeah, well, then you had to thin it all by hand, and
you thinned it all by hand, and then you went ahead and you hoped that it would come to something because, you know, the land some lands were too sweet, some lands were too acidy.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that the pH had to be above 5 and below 7.5. Well, hardly any that was.
And Johnny's very technical because a lot of them didn't even know that. They just
put
their fertilizer on.
They still don't know about pH.
I know. Mm-hmm. We broke 3 different lots of land. We broke on the little scheme. We broke out by Louis, Big Louis out there.
Yeah, Louis.
And we broke,
Louis
out at the end of Simcoe Street.
Yeah, that's what we just talked a while ago, because
you,
the,